It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Friday, March 27th. I'm Patricia Naft. KKCO in Grand Junction is reporting that a Montrose teenager took her own life recently. Caitlin Haynes was a student at Montrose High School. This is Erica Hiron, Communications Coordinator for the Montrose County School District.
We are a very tight, close community. And it is a community issue. We work directly with the Center for Mental Health, Safe to Tell, and encourage everyone to reach out and support one another and help one another.
She says the district has several programs to try to promote an environment of respect and safety starting in elementary school. Bullying is an ongoing issue in schools, and telling kids to be nice to each other isn't always enough. That's why educators are getting creative. In Colorado, some schools are using Shakespeare to get kids talking about violence and bullying and what they can do to prevent it. KVNF's Laura Pomisano reports.
More than 120 students are sitting on the gymnasium floor of Paonia Elementary. These 3rd through 6th graders are here to see a play.
We are actors with the Colorado Shakespeare Festival.
And we will be performing Shakespeare's comedy, Twelfth Night.
For many of these kids, this is their first time experiencing Shakespeare.
We'd like you to be on the lookout anytime you see a character bully another character.
The play, which is full of insults, backstabbing, and violence, is a good fit for an anti-bullying campaign.
I marvel your ladyship takes delight in such a barren rascal.
Young Malvolio is turned heathen. He's in yellow stockings.
And cross-gartered.
Here's the challenge. Read it. Warrant, there's vinegar and pepper in it.
After the performance, each actor heads to a different classroom for a workshop on violence and bullying prevention. This program is a partnership between the Colorado Shakespeare Festival and the University of Colorado Boulder. Actor Ben Griffin is facilitating the workshop for about 30 sixth graders. To start, he defines bullying.
And the Center for Study and Prevention of Violence says that there are three parts. The first part is the intention to harm, either physically or emotionally. The second part is that it is repeated over time and it often escalates. And the last part is that there is a power imbalance.
In the workshop, kids talk about the bullying they saw in the play and the bullying they see and experience in real life. This is 12-year-old Allison Godwin.
Bullying's bad because it doesn't make people feel the greatest, and it's not really okay to do that to people.
The students also discuss what they can do to prevent violence and bullying in their school. 11-year-old Abby Reedy offers this suggestion.
We are the oldest in the school, and the younger kids, they look up to us, and we need to set a good example so they know how to act when they're in our grades.
Griffin says the goal of the program is to change how kids think about and address bullying.
Something that we try to impart to the students is, even though there are negative things around you, you can still try to make your climate a positive climate for everybody and make it more safe and included.
For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
Pictures from the website can be found at our website, kvnf.org. A trio of bills to try and make policing more transparent and weed out bad cops unanimously cleared the Senate Judiciary Committee yesterday. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Senate Bill 217 would require the Division of Criminal Justice to put together a report on all police shootings in Colorado over the last 5 years, and the demographic information for both the officer and the person shot. Montrose County Sheriff Rick Dunlap testified in support of the bill on behalf of the County Sheriff's Association.
I think it goes a long way, being able to show the people that we serve that we're doing the right things.
Another measure requires prosecutors to be more open with the public if they decide not to file charges in a police shooting case. More controversial police reforms, such as a ban on chokeholds, haven't had a hearing yet. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Colorado Parks and Wildlife is wrapping up their open comment period for their long-term goals. Joe Lewandowski is with CPW and says they've been running meetings all over the state to hear from people about what they want to see from their state parks.
Colorado Parks and Wildlife is in the midst of developing a strategic plan. And what we're doing is trying to take a look out 10 to 20 years into the future. And we're going around the state and having meetings with folks to kind of get their ideas on what they'd like to see. All of our state parks in the state, we have about 13 million visitors every year to those parks. We sell 1.5 million hunting and fishing licenses every year. So we serve a lot of people in Colorado. And it's always productive when we can get people who we don't normally see on a day-to-day basis. We had a meeting on Tuesday night in Montrose. It was the most well-attended meeting anywhere in the state. We had 66 people, more people at that meeting than they had at meetings in Fort Collins and Colorado Springs. So it tells us that folks in the area are interested in what's going on.
Lewandowski says that it will still be several years before the ideas are implemented at a state level. And finally, there was a big drug bust in Denver recently. KVNF's Jake Ryan has the story.
A large illegal marijuana growing and distribution operation was shut down recently. This is Colorado Attorney General Cynthia Kaufman.
This is one of the largest marijuana busts that we have had in Colorado since marijuana was legalized. And it involves a conspiracy that took place over 4 years. We indicted 32 individuals, and it was a group headed up by a gentleman named Tree Nguyen, and he and his wife and his three sisters put together a conspiracy to distribute marijuana, grow and distribute it. They were holding themselves out as being legitimate medical marijuana grow operators. And so they pretended that they were licensed caregivers. Some of them acted as property managers who were servicing marijuana growers and marijuana cooperatives. There was even a massage parlor business that was a front for the operation. But they were growing marijuana, harvesting it and distributing it almost entirely out of state. They sent trafficked tens of thousands of pounds of marijuana, the trim and the concentrate, and then butane hash oil. And it went to a variety of states, primarily to Minnesota, though.
It's alleged that Wynn's organization flew the marijuana out of the state on a skydiving plane.
This is unusual in terms of the scope and size of what the operators were doing. We've estimated that they were exporting, I say that in quotes, up to 400 pounds of marijuana a month. And I am not aware of another operation of this size.
The Colorado authorities worked in conjunction with the Department of Justice and the Drug Enforcement Agency. Interestingly, most of the charges brought against the 32 people arrested were for things associated with the business end, not the fact that it was marijuana. Organized crime, tax evasion, money laundering, and attempts to influence public officials. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Stay tuned for P. Gibby and DJ MJ and the Feel Good Friday Morning Music Mix. Thank you for supporting KVNF News. I'm Patricia Naft.